Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian.
I am Brian. My mic was muted.
Just a bit of a delay there on this Monday afternoon.
No, it's fine. It's a Monday, definitely.
It is Monday.
For sure.
It is Monday. And how you doing, big guy?
I'm all right, man. I did what I was worried about. I unplugged for the weekend, which is great. You know, I mean, it's great to unplug, and I turned my work brain off, like you told me, for the weekend, and I shut it off, and it was awesome. And I needed it because I've been going strong, and you and I have both been going strong pretty much every weekend as well for the last 3 or 4 weeks between the election and doing all the stuff to go
traffic
and get all
systems,
these stations.
Traffic systems, brand new. Yeah,
we have the litany of that. So the problem is that I haven't shut off the brain in a while. And like a computer, if you haven't restarted it in a while and there's a lot of updates to go and, maybe just add into there, you're going to need a lot of restarts just to get it going again. And today I am not restarting correctly.
It's like that PlayStation 4 that I haven't turned on in a while. I have a feeling there's going to be a couple software updates before I ever want to play it. So I got to give it a whole day of rebooting before dusting off the old PS4.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But welcome to the show today, folks. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with Brian and I and get us out of this Monday, maybe funk. Not a funk, but just get back into the swing of things. 844-967-2789. You can share your tangents. And you're listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network here in Madison. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Brian's holding down the fort out there in the Shaw.
That's 540 AM as well as 101 FM, the Shaw.
The beast of the east, that WAUK 540 AM signal.
Yeah, we're also listening to us on WISS 1100, the Wiz. I just keep on thinking of Sylvia Wiz from the Dragnet every single time. I'm sorry.
Every single time. That's Oshkosh Air Support up there on WISS.
They're awesome.
They are. And you may also be listening on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, Lake Air in Amory, or radio from the center in Richland Center. Again, that phone number to call if you want to share your tangent, 844-967-2789. But some people are getting back to work right away, Brian. You know,
well,
the election.
That's the thing is that Governor Evers said, let's poke it a night and get back to work tomorrow. And I think he was actually serious about that. I think other people were too. They're starting to. In addition to the Republicans in disarray nationwide, there's some people that are reassessing, checking the doing the autopsy. Some people are just missing in action and not even at all making any comments because they're hiding out in Connecticut. But some other people are actually trying to move forward in the reality that is living in Wisconsin, and people are trying to say what happened and trying to figure out maybe how can we win more or better next time.
Well, yeah, and we're 6 days out from the midterm elections that were Wisconsin was the center of the political universe. We all know that. It came down to not just Wisconsin, but the states around the nation had their elections. And here in Wisconsin, we had a pretty interesting one. The shakeup led to Tony Evers being reelected for a second term. Josh Call, similarly, being reelected to his second term. Ron Johnson, narrowly winning by about a percentage point, winning reelection to the U.S. Senate. But somebody that wasn't on the ballot wants to get back to work already, Brian, because she's looking to get some stuff done, which is really par for the course for her in Washington, D.C., and that is Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Ah.
And so I saw a very interesting news update today that she is leading the charge in the U.S. Senate for a vote this week to codify same-sex marriage into federal law. still this session of Congress.
I want to say that I am absolutely proud to have her as my senator and your senator and all of our senators. She is fantastic, and this is the type of thing that we are looking for her to do. That's fantastic. I wonder how Ron Johnson will feel about this, and I wonder how he will vote on this situation, or he'll just waffle and say, we should just leave that up to people, but, you know, abortion, screw you, or don't get screwed.
If you don't like it, move to a different state. If you don't like that, move to a different state. I do find it interesting, because when this bill became, it was being circulated before the Senate, before the midterms, it got shelved because there was not enough support from Republicans in the U.S. Senate to pass this bill. To be able to defeat a filibuster, you need 60 votes in the U.S. Senate. And Senator Tammy Baldwin has been leading the effort to pass this bill since Roe v. Wade got overturned in the Dobbs decision this summer, when the U.S. Supreme Court signaled that same-sex marriage, right to contraception, and the right to marry who you love, same-sex marriage, and interracial marriage, all of those legal precedents that had been previously determined by the U.S. Supreme Court were going to be potentially re-examined, or at least that's what Justice Clarence Thomas was signaling to conservative groups out there, that Roe was wrongfully decided, and so some other things may need to be re-examined. Senator Baldwin went to work, and it seemed like Senator Johnson would be, he said at the time, he saw no reason to oppose it, which you would read into it that that's...
I'm waiting for someone to pay for me to oppose it.
Or if you wanted to take it in good faith, that sounds like he supports it, that he would support that bill. If he sees no reason to oppose it, you would assume that he would support it.
There's a whole dot yet on there.
Oh, well, yeah, he left a lot of gray space intentionally, Brian. Intentionally but, left that room for wiggle room.
This is a couple things here. Because one, I don't like running campaigns on fear and things like that. And to an extent, that's what we had to do this election cycle, in that they will not only just take away Roe v. Wade, they'll take away other things too, like you had just mentioned, Clarence Thomas has signaled. By codifying it, by putting it into law, you put that fear to rest.
Right.
And we don't have to run on it anymore. It's settled. And then we don't have to worry about it. But also, by putting it to a vote, you get to see and hear hatred on the Senate floor. You get to see and hear the justifications over and over again for why this shouldn't happen or why this shouldn't be, which I think would be very interesting to go and expose just how bigoted these senators try not to sound.
Well, they shelved that vote before the midterms, and partially, I believe, out of deference to the senators that maybe were on the fence. Say that 58th, that 59th, that 60th vote that is needed in the U.S. Senate. Going to need to be a Republican senator to be able to break that 60-vote majority needed
for sure.
To beat a filibuster. And so now we're in this gray area where the senator from Pennsylvania, or the senator-elect from Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, is not quite yet in the U.S. Senate. He hasn't been taking the oath of office. He won't do that until January 6th, or I bet it was January 6th in 2021. It's right around that day. This year, this upcoming 2023 session will begin early January. But Senator Baldwin is trying to get this vote on the record this week. And it's going to be interesting to see if somebody who narrowly won re-election here in Wisconsin, Senator Johnson, is going to put his money where his mouth is, Brian, and vote to codify same-sex marriage and be a unity senator. Because that's what he said after he won re-election. He wanted to put the divisiveness away, and he wanted to be able to provide unity.
But also, it stops everybody from worrying about it, talking about it, and blaming everybody for not having it protected. Once it's done, you can get it off the table. You can move on. And we can say, great, congratulations. Everybody is finally, you know, maybe treated equal somewhat, or at least as much as possible under the law. But do it, man. Get it off the table.
Yeah, and I want to be able to credit the piece that I found at Semaphore, the new news site that is being put. Dave Weigel, formerly of the Washington Post, is over at Semaphore now as well.
Yeah.
But they had the inside scoop that the Senate will vote to codify same-sex marriage rights this week. The reporter over there is Katia Goba that is reporting this, sharing that Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, is leading the charge to have this vote before the Senate as early as this week to codify the Respect for Marriage Act and pass that and send it to President Joe Biden's desk. Because it's going to be really telling, Brian, now that politics is behind us, the midterms are behind us. There were some individuals that didn't want to take this vote before being on the ballot.
Yeah, there's no excuses now. You don't have to worry about the election. You don't have to worry about the election results. You know that you're in or you know that you're out, and you can go and vote how you probably should to codify this, because the Supreme Court said, all right, cool. Then why don't you just codify it, get it off the table, and not have to worry about it anymore, huh?
That sounds very nice, Brian.
I just figured that'd be a nice step to go and say. Just honestly, it's one of those things that pretty much everybody should be able to get behind and say, all right, cool. This is something we can all do together, and as a symbol of us trying to figure out how to work together moving forward. I think that would be a great olive branch for everyone to get behind.
Yeah, and so if you believe that Senator Ron Johnson should take a vote and codify same-sex marriage, we'd love to hear it. 844-967-2789. Or we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. Do you think he's going to back away and find that gray wiggle room to not support this measure if it comes before the U.S. Senate this week, as Semaphore, reporters over there at Semaphore, are reporting? Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. 844-967-2789. That's the number to share your tangents at. But Brian, we also got some action coming from some of the GOP players here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got a former lieutenant governor that's announcing her move changes coming up after these midterm elections are over now, what she's been up to.
Wait, what?
And former Governor Scott Walker chimes in about his thoughts on ballots still being counted from the midterm election last week, because, you know, states allow mail-in ballots to be postmarked up to election day, and apparently Scott Walker disagrees with that, at least through a statement, but then his actions during this past midterm show otherwise. So
that's ridiculous.
We're going to get into that. And
why would you listen to Scott Walker? Wait, that's right. He's still out there talking.
He's still out there talking, Brian. But we're going to get into those stories and some updates about what's going on in Elon Musk's Twitter. Oh, folks, Lord. This is Dueling Tangents. Happy Monday. We'll be back after a quick break. Back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. You're listening to us across the fine network of civic media radio stations we're putting together here across the state of Wisconsin. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here at Civic Media, go to civicmedia.us. You can see all the stations, all the programming, and all the excellent work that we're doing here at Civic Media. You can also download the Civic Media app. Go to wherever fine apps are downloaded on your smartphone and search Civic Media. Free, easy to download, and you can listen to all the stations we have across the state. And Brian, so Senator Tammy Baldwin is not the only individual heading back to work now, getting things done after the midterms. We're post-midterm here now. It's before Thanksgiving. Some people, you know, kind of taking it easy. Strolling back to Connecticut, going to at least maybe the penthouse in Manhattan, taking some time off. Former Republican candidate Tim Michaels, I would believe, is in that category. He's going to stay out of public life for a little while. But we've got an update from his competitor in the GOP primary here in the state of Wisconsin, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, and at one time the front runner for the GOP nomination here this past cycle in Wisconsin. She is announcing that she is returning to the 1848 Project, Brian. The shadow campaign that she set up when leaving the lieutenant governorship after losing in 2018 to Evers and Mandela Barnes. The kind of campaign in waiting that she set up, she is returning back to that organization now that the election's over here in the state of Wisconsin.
You know what? Now is the time.
Now's the time. And I've got a quote from Rebecca Clayfish out earlier today. I started the 1848 Project to develop the conservative agenda for candidates to run on and implement to the benefit of our Wisconsin neighbors, Clayfish said. But it has become clear that we can't stop with one election cycle or only state policy efforts. We need to recruit, equip, and provide continuing education for candidates for offices ranging from school board to city council, county board to state senate. We have to act now. The 1848 Project is thrilled to have Rebecca back in this leadership role, said Bonnie Lee, the 1848 Project executive director. While liberals have been educating candidates and playing in local races for decades, it was Rebecca who earnestly recruited and helped assembly candidates in 2020 and then actively engaged in recruiting and training local candidates in subsequent elections.
Great.
Great. Nothing to talk about the defeat of her in the GOP primary back in August, or the fact that the candidate that did defeat her in that race,
folks,
went on to lose to incumbent Governor Tony Evers last week.
Folks, we need better candidates, and I should know.
Brian, don't you find it funny though that the party that took a very AstroTurf approach, that the Koch brothers during the Tea Party movement started spending millions, if not billions of dollars on local races to try to shape local legislatures to the point where here in Wisconsin, we have one of the most gerrymandered state houses.
And useless.
And good work if you can get it, because you sit and they've been out of session since the first week of March. They're not coming in to do a special session this go around because they don't have a outgoing governor to sign off on it, Brian. They wrapped up their legislative duties in the first week of March. Less than 10 weeks into the year, they called it done for the year. And so Rebecca Clayfish is saying the problem's not that. The problem's we need better candidates.
Yes. Well, they need both. They need better candidates and actual legislation that people who want to legislate. I mean, it'd be nice to have anybody that would like to, I don't know, legislate. And they'll go and blame Tony Evers for anything. But again, have you tried compromising? Have you attempted to go and put anything in front of him that maybe might be so reasonable that they might accept? Because that might be the worst thing possible for them. Because again, Senator Johnson says, hey, why don't we put it up to the people on a referendum to decide about, you know, abortion for the state? And then Tony Evers said, that's a great idea. Let's do it. And then they were like, oh, no, we can't. We can't.
He's being divisive by accepting my offer. What?
There's efforts out there to go and actually do things. And I would hope that you could figure out how to get anything done. Because, again, the only thing they did, they sure got together during the pandemic, and they passed a law that allowed for carry-out drinks for bars. That's all they did.
Yeah, they delayed accepting the state legislature delayed accepting COVID relief funds to the tune of missing out on $25 million because Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu didn't act fast enough.
But it must have been Voss taking off that ridiculous suit that he had on with his face.
You were perfectly safe to go out suit.
Yeah, that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
What a jackass that guy. Again, people, you guys keep voting him back in but also hating him at the same time. I don't get it. You don't want Robin Voss in there, but then again, you're like, let's vote for, you know, Tim Michaels, who's going to make Robin Voss the governor. You guys definitely do need better candidates, and I think Rebecca Clayfish has it right on the head there. But again, it would have been nice for I see all this second guessing, and Paul Ryan's coming out of the woodwork. Oh, you know, this Donald Trump thing doesn't really seem to be working out, and there's people on Fox. I heard that Laura Ingraham was even like, oh my goodness, Donald Trump may have lost some elections here. Oh, you think? My point is like, this guy, you knew exactly who he was. This isn't because of some moral thing. This isn't because of some, you know, we could do better. It's because you lost, because you're losing power because of it. It has nothing to do with any sort of moral compass or any sort of, oh, geez, this shouldn't be a good thing for the country. Maybe he did, maybe being anti-democracy is bad. No, it's because you thought that being anti-democracy would win you power. That's really it.
And now it shows that it hasn't. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Going to continue on with the headlines and get to your phone calls. 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Folks, it's Monday afternoon. If you want to join us on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. In the middle of November, we had like a 50-degree temperature switch from last Thursday to this weekend, Brian. And I don't know about you. I think it's throwing me off a little bit.
No wonder everybody's sick these days.
So everybody's sick. Daylight savings. We're now a week on the falling back clocks out of daylight savings time. It's an interesting time where we've got a little bit of a midterm hangover, but some people are back to work. Senator Tammy Baldwin announcing that, well, there's reports coming out that the Senate is going to codify the Respect for Marriage Act, codifying same-sex marriage into federal law as early as this week. And former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish announcing that she's going back to the 1848 Project to recruit some candidates, because that is what she deems as the what needs to be fixed from the Republicans' lack of red wave last Tuesday.
It's one of many things. So at least, you know what? Let's acknowledge somebody in the Republican Party looking at things and going, wow, this should probably be different.
Well, but I'm curious to know what kind of candidate recruitment she thinks. I'm going to wait until I find out what candidates she recruits, Brian. Yeah, I'm going to see how the candidates she recruits shake out. Because just saying that candidate recruitment is the problem and that, like, that's what you're going to do to address it.
Well, they had to outsource the last one. So.
Well, yeah, they had to fly him in from Connecticut.
And Ron Johnson somehow, even after 12 years in the Senate, is running as an outsider. Somehow.
Somehow.
How people bought that narrative. Oh, yeah, because that.
There's a lot of money spent.
What do you have for me, buddy?
Yeah, well, I got this other one that caught my eye over the weekend, because the former governor, Scott Walker, was kind of making a little ruckus.
Talking again?
Putting out his views on, over the weekend, Brian, results were coming in from Nevada and Arizona. California still tabulating a lot of ballots, and we still don't know what the makeup of the U.S. House of Representatives is going to be come January.
Are we still bracing for a red wave, or are we just like, I don't think it's going to be here?
I think everybody realized pretty early on Tuesday night that wasn't going to be there, Brian.
I just wanted to bring it up again because it is really great.
But Scott Walker going to Twitter.com to share his grievance about getting election results not necessarily on election day. And I think it's important to point out, folks, we've never gotten our official election results on election night. That's just not how the process goes. Right now here in the state of Wisconsin, the counties are currently canvassing their votes, confirming the initial counts from last Tuesday, but no results get certified until weeks beyond election day.
You can't expect a former governor to know how elections work.
Well, former state Supreme Court justice admitted he didn't know how they work either. But this is what Walker had to say on Twitter, Brian. Elections should be held on one day. Photo ID should be required. Ballots should be cast in person with exceptions only for military and homebound. Results should be known on the night of the election. Very definitive statement put out by the former governor here in the state of Wisconsin yesterday afternoon, 2 p.m. That's what he put out there.
All right. So how are we going to make sure that you can get an ID as soon as possible at the easiest way for everybody to get it? How are we going to make sure that we have DMVs open everywhere with locations that are convenient for everybody in the state, in any city? How are we going to make sure that that day is taken off by everybody? Can we make it an election holiday? Are you going to do anything to go and facilitate making voting easier? Or are you just going to complain about it and just, oh, no, you're just tweeting again. Okay.
Yeah, and so some very interesting folks decided to point out that literally less than a week before, just before 5 p.m. on November 7th, the day before the midterm election, Brian, Scott Walker's Twitter feed, cast my ballot at the Delafield Town Hall during early voting for the following in Wisconsin: Tim Michaels and Roger Roth, Eric Toney, Amy Lynn Loudenbeck, John S. Lieber, and Ron Johnson.
I shouldn't be allowed to do this.
Having a great time.
Literally, less than 6 days before he's tweeting out about how you should only be able to vote on Election Day, he was proudly boasting that he voted before Election Day during the early voting period here in the state of Wisconsin, which he tried to shrink down and remove. He did try to hinder early voting in the state of Wisconsin, was sued several times by the outfit One Wisconsin Now, and he lost those court battles. He wanted to be able to further restrict in-person absentee voting or early voting here in the state of Wisconsin, and he was sued in court and those early voting periods upheld by the federal courts, I believe. I do not believe it was state courts, but that's the parody that is Scott Walker. He can take advantage of the early voting, Brian, but not you.
I used to run track.
So there you go. That's pretty much all you need to know about Scott Walker. It was good for him.
Yeah, so but that's not the only chaos that we saw on Twitter.com.
Oh yeah, well, Twitter in general is chaos now. My goodness. What, see, again, people, this is what you get for worshiping someone for having money. Because, again, if you look deeper into Elon Musk's, maybe just scratch into the surface of it, of Elon Musk and who he is and the character and all that stuff, not so good. And so when people are like, yay, my superhero billion, he's not Tony Stark, people. Someone else built that rocket ship. Tony Stark built his own stuff. This guy, someone else, he's like Edison. Someone else, but at least Edison knew how to use half the stuff, and it didn't blow up either after he sold it. Anyway, point is that, oh, we have this genius billionaire, and he's buying Twitter, and it's going to be so much better, and oh my. So how much better is it?
Well, do you know remember that last week of school where, you know, there were really no assignments being taught anymore because it was the end of the school year. Teachers were ready to pack up shop as well.
That's every day now because you're not allowed to teach anything anymore.
Well, but then we complain about growing up, grades. You remember that last week of school. Yeah. It was kind of chaos. There was no rules applied. There was always like a cookout that last week, and you got to sign everybody's yearbook, and people were passing notes like no rules, really, that final week of school. That's what it feels like to me on Twitter right now.
Yeah, I was 18 at the time. And I was allowed to sign myself out anytime I wanted. So
that same energy, Brian, is what's going on Twitter.
I went up to the office and said, hey, guys, I went to first period, turned in my assignments, and I feel like I'm going to go now. Honestly, I'm not feeling well, and I think the cure is going to Cedar Point. And I did. And they said, have a good day, Bri, because I'd already graduated pretty much.
18 so. And you could sign yourself out. Well, yep. That's pretty wild. But that's the energy that I'm approaching Twitter right now with Elon Musk at the helm, because he took over and he said comedy is legal or whatever, free speech. He's got all these different statements about why he bought the platform, why he decided to purchase Twitter for $44 billion, which was vastly overpaying for the platform.
I've got money, I can do anything.
He wanted to liberate voices that he thought were being suppressed on the app, and he created this new thing where he was going to make it $20, Brian. He was going to make Twitter Blue $20. Anybody could be verified.
I think that would have made the difference.
Yeah, it was the democratization of Twitter. Anybody could get the blue check mark next to their name if they paid the $20. And Stephen King, I believe, of all people, is the one that said, you're not getting $20 from me just to have that stupid little blue badge next to my name. Like, I'm not agreeing to that. And Elon was like, bargaining with him in the comments of that tweet, say, well, what about $8? And then $8 became the price now for Twitter Blue, which if you pay, you can have this little blue check mark next to your name, which for the first 15 years, roughly, of Twitter being an app, served as a verification process to say the account that this person says they are is who they say they are. And so it was for celebrities, it's for journalists, it was for corporations to be able to say, yes, this is the official handle of our company, our celebrity, our person, whatever. And now, Brian, if you pay $8 and you come up with a slightly different handle than the actual verified Twitter account for, say, Eli Lilly, you can post things like a very simple tweet, very short. Not very long. I want to say it was only 11 words long, but the
Eli Lilly, by the way, manufactures insulin.
Yes. Yes. And so this is reading from a story over at the Washington Post, headlined, "A fake tweet sparked panic at Eli Lilly and may have cost Twitter millions." And it's a 9-word tweet sent Thursday afternoon, last Thursday, from an account using the name and logo of the pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly and Co. And it immediately attracted a giant response. These little 9 words. "We are excited to announce insulin is free now." They had a blue little check mark next to their name.
It's a blue check mark. You know it's real.
It was impersonating the official Eli Lilly account because, as Elon Musk said, Twitter comedy is legal. Free speech. And this is what Elon Musk's free speech platform now looks like, because Eli Lilly lost about 5% of their stock value from Thursday afternoon when that tweet, fake tweet, was posted to Friday when the tweet was removed and told to be taken down.
Okay, this highlights a double problem here. One, obviously, you know, you can basically get people to think that, you know, you're offering fake insulin or free insulin from a fake account. That's problematic. Also, it highlights that Elon Musk clearly doesn't, you know how most people, like, who have a lot of power and or clout and or whatever you want to call it, if they're smart and or successful, I've noticed that the most smart, successful ones have a group of folks around them that tell them, maybe you shouldn't do that when it's a lot of things like the things that Elon Musk has done, because he clearly has no, like, he's just doing what, he's just at the helm and he's like, I know how to run this ship, and he's got like ropes all over and they're all connected to the wheel and there's half a sail up and it's kind of going in a circle and he's like, I'm doing it on my own, because that's pretty much what he's doing with his Twitter. I mean, on top of that, it wasn't just Eli Lilly, it was also Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin, I don't know if you know, they make weapons. And they said, we will begin halting all weapons sales to Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United States until further investigation into their record of human rights abuses.
Yeah. There was a fake account impersonating former President George W. Bush and saying some not great things. And the whole point of the verification process was to be able to show that the person that you were reading this news release, tweet, whatever you want to refer to it as, the thought bubble that was shared on an online chat room seen by millions of people, was true to the person that they were said they were being. And now that it's been removed, and for $8 you can impersonate whoever you want with whatever spoof little statement that you want to put out there now, Brian. And I just, again, the best way I can classify it is the last week of school, where the kids are like, I know, I've graduated already. I know I'm moving on to the next grade. I can do whatever I want. And Elon Musk is running around acting like he's got control of this problem. And people in the tech industry and right-wing people that thought that, oh, Twitter is this platform for the lefties, the liberals, and Elon Musk taking it over is going to own the libs, is going to be huge. And literally, corporations are going to lose millions of dollars.
They already did.
They already have.
They lost billions. And guess what? This also exposes another problem with our entire system. One, we put way too much faith in stocks and stock market. But two, isn't Lockheed Martin one of those, like, pretty much solid, rock solid stocks you can pretty much rely on no matter what? And you know what? If some solid stock like that, and pretty much a blue chip stock like that, can just drop because of a freaking tweet, How weak is our system in the first place?
Eli Lilly, too. I'm sure that those, both Lockheed Martin, Eli Lilly, those are how companies traded weak? In mutual funds, in everything. And if all of a sudden they lose, say, 5% of their market share because of a fake tweet, yeah,
man,
it shows a lot of problems in the system.
Like, I went down to my guy's place down in Chicago, and he has a real awesome radio setup. I know how to take them off the air, and it would take me in an axe at least a half an hour to put them off the air because of the redundancies he has. And our stock market can get screwed with an $8 verified tweet. Way to go, everyone. Congratulations, capitalism. You've done such a great job. You've left yourself so freaking vulnerable that some idiot tweet that you don't even understand, you probably don't understand how it works, somehow completely destroyed you. Way to go.
Yeah, it's a fascinating little system.
I'm so proud of us.
We're doing such a good job, which is why we're going to take a little look at cryptocurrency and the turbulence that is experiencing over at FTX is happening on the economy as well. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
You know what? Here's the problem with believing in dreams. Sometimes those dreams become real and all too real for people.
And then you find yourself.
You make huge decisions based
bankruptcy.
On those dreams, only those dreams, and then you realize those dreams are just like blown away like dust in the wind.
Brian, well, a lot of people invested in FTX.
You just gotta believe in the fake money, and it will be there for you.
I'm taking it by those words that you're not invested in crypto.
Not so much.
Not so much.
So you know how that stock market volatility comment really earlier? That also applies to crypto.
And
my goodness.
In a worse sense.
I've got 4,000 servers in my house mining crypto at this very second.
And unregulated, completely unregulated compared to the actual stock market.
Oh, so, it's open sourced. It's totally fine.
It's decentralized.
Blockchain.
Yeah, blockchain. But Brian, you're alluding to the crypto crash that happened with FTX. And
who could have predicted? Oh, my goodness.
You wanted to share this one because, from my understanding, baseball. The MLB had a pretty big sponsorship deal with FTX.
So, you know how like baseball was like, hey, Pete Rose, don't ever come back or be near us or have anything to do with baseball ever. Why? Because you bet on baseball. You know what baseball is doing right now? Doing everything in the world possible to make sure everybody bets on baseball. In fact, I believe Wrigley Field is going to get one of the largest sports books in the world connected to it.
Yeah, all of the NFL and DraftKings or FanDuel, whichever one it is Caesar Sportsbook. You can't turn ESPN on now without a Caesar Sportsbook graphic on the outside giving you the over-under odds and the whole thing.
What's that network you watch the Bucks on and the Brewers?
Bally Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Bally. Yeah, as in the uh-huh. casino.
Well, if you want something a little bit more volatile than that, I mean, again, you know, casinos are only such a thrill. But if you want something that could possibly, you know, ruin everything, why not invest everything into FTX and cryptocurrency, which is what MLB decided to do. They got FTX paid to go and put FTX on umpires' sleeves for the World Series. And for this season.
And for those of you that do not know what FTX is, it was the second largest crypto exchange organization in the world up until the last weekend.
Super duper Ponzi scheme, guys. Way to go. And so they were based in Hong Kong, and then all of a sudden this last year they said, let's move our base to the Bahamas. There's nothing suspicious about there. Hong Kong, one of the financial centers of the universe, to the Bahamas, where it will be free to let cryptocurrency completely fold in on itself like a flat in the cupboard. It's ridiculous. They have fallen in. So many people have gotten taken on this. There's a freaking arena in Miami named after these people. Mm-hmm. It's not like FTX didn't have
There's a new, the Staples Center in LA is no longer the Staples Center. It's named after a cryptocurrency as well.
Yes, because actually selling goods is no longer as viable as, hey, would you like to buy some fake money?
And then using that fake money to leverage other venture capital, and then all of a sudden yes. not being able to call in on those funds. And
So if you're a nerd and like calculus like I do, it's like using negative zero or like infinity as part of your equation to go and solve for other parts of the equation to go and get rid of it. It's just, it's a thing, but you have to all accept that it exists on both sides of the equation for it to work. But again,
and when somebody wants to buy their crypto back and you can't offer it back to them because you've leveraged it other ways, then it goes poof. Then it's, yes. then it's all of a sudden, well, I'm going to have to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah, really good. Way to go and have completely... Really good.
So that's what's going on with the FTX scandal. I try to keep an eye on like the GameStop stuff when the shorting, the individual
that's
stocks
a different,
was going...
That's a group of folks trying to go and...
But very similar folks, I think, compared to the crypto...
Yeah, they were community. The same actors, I believe. Yeah,
yeah. I kept up with a little bit with the GameStop stuff, but crypto is a little bit more beyond what I'm well versed in talking about, Brian. But it seems like the second largest cryptocurrency exchange has now folded, and it's going to be something to definitely keep an eye on in the coming weeks and months because more and more people are getting into crypto. You're seeing Super Bowl ads. You're seeing all of these. People's celebrities endorsing it, like you said, arenas, umpires, and MLB being branded with it. It's everywhere, so we gotta be keeping more closer eye on it.
And again, it's look. I understand it's more than just fake money that we all believe in over here, but it's not. It's
gonna affect again.
It's acting sure a lot like fake money.
Yeah, well, very similar to the Eli Lilly losing market value from a tweet. There are people buying this and exchanging real money for crypto money, and so people will definitely feel these ramifications. It's real for a lot of people.
People are gonna have ramifications from this phone call from Joe from Madison. How you doing, Joe?
Well, actually, that would be great if that were the case. I wanted to thank so much for last week, the time that you guys spent talking about Veterans Day, and I think we can return to it with this comments that Mr. Walker has had about the importance of winding up voting all on one day, except for the military, which is kind of comical given that right-wing group, I think it's the Thomas More Foundation Society, whatever, who worked so hard to make sure that... those serving in the military in Wisconsin might be stopped from having their absentee ballots counted. So, I mean, I know the judge came down and junked their efforts, but I bring it up because I think the comments that you had on Veterans Day were so important and are really so necessary to talk about the real sacrifice that people carry, you know, in their bones, in their hearts, and in their minds after going through warfare. And I know that. There's the phrase, you know, thank you for your service, and some vets have just said it reminds them of the waitress, you know, thank you for your service for bringing over the French fries. And I would compare it to, and I think it's worth thinking about, that, you know, in England, there is a tradition of having Remembrance Day, and it is everything stops, and for 2 minutes of silence, and the headlines say, the nation falls silent. And, I mean, maybe that's what we need to do, is just fall silent for a few minutes as a way to think about service and what it means and how hard it has been for people who have given up so much. But I appreciate so much that you brought up the subject last week, and the day didn't slip by, but instead was honored. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely, Joe.
We appreciate your phone call, Joe.
You know, it's important to know that if you want to go and honor veterans, make sure their sacrifice is worth it. And if they have even just a little sliver, get it paid for.
Yeah. And folks, we got Manu Raju over at CNN reporting. In the last couple minutes here, there are 60 votes needed to break the filibuster in the Senate to codify the Respect for Marriage Act. Sounds like Senator Baldwin's been hard at work, despite some having a midterm hangover. You've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Senate's going to pass that bill. We've got Matt McNeil coming up next. The Devil's Advocates follow that. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. Talk to you then.